Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started here. A couple more people trickling in. So, good morning. How was the keynote this morning? There was a keynote before this? Was it good? It was good? All right. So my name is Patrick Baumgartner. I'm on the Power BI team. I've worked at Microsoft doing BI-related things for about 12 years now, which sounds nuts when I say it out loud. This has been a long time. Power BI, if you're familiar with Power BI, a couple years ago, we started down this path with Power View and Power Pivot in Excel. We then released an Office 365 kind of companion app that was basically a way to visualize some of that data in Office 365. It's a pretty light offering. About a year and a half ago, we changed directions a little bit and kind of come out with, you could think about what is Power BI 2.0. And you've seen lots of examples of that here, I think, through the Cortana Analytics suite. And so today we're going to talk about Power BI and what we're doing now. We'll show a couple futures, so I'll try to call those out so you guys aren't caught by surprise if you go use the download today and you see a feature I showed that's not there. The vast majority of what I will show, though, is something that you can go get started with for free, and we'll talk about why that's important to us here in a few minutes. How many people here have signed up for the Power BI service online? Or I guess I should say, how many people haven't? So good number of hands. So go do it. We track those numbers. We're very serious about how many people have signed up for the service. How many people have downloaded Power BI Desktop? All right, I like it. So we're going to do demos of Power BI Desktop. We'll do some demos of the service. We'll talk about how we think about this being deployed in an enterprise context or being used by average users, typical users in an organization. And hopefully have some fun. I do have to warn you guys, I've been washing my hands like crazy, but last week it turns out I have mono. So I've been really, really tired. And so I've got my caffeine in me this morning, so I'll try to get the energy going. But if you see me drifting off for a moment, it's because the sleepy stick just hit me. So let's go ahead and get started. So James, yesterday in the keynote, we talked a little bit about Power BI as what we think of is one place, it's a single pane of glass to see all of your data. And so one of the big, and we'll see this through the demos today and what we talk about today, the direction we're taking Power BI is a single place that connects to a wide, wide variety of data sources and supports a wide variety of data visualization, data visuals, and then data inputs. So whether it's live streaming data, whether it's data coming from Spark or Hadoop, something that obviously we have to connect to on-premise because we're not going to try to host it all in the Power BI service, whether it's data an end user just uploaded from Excel. We want to be that single pane of glass that is a wonderful place to bring data together to visualize it, either for ad hoc exploration or just dashboarding scenarios. You've seen we've been releasing very rapidly along this path, but it is our intention to take any of your data in and visualize it, make it incredibly easy to share with other people in your organization. We're looking forward to embedding in past scenarios. You can embed this on your website and do all those great things. And so those are all in our scenario scope. So, obviously we have some features that haven't released yet, some of those scenarios that are coming, so we're happy to talk about that. But if you see us not meeting that goal, we want you to be very engaged in our communities and our forums and on Twitter and keep us course correcting. Because we want to know, what's that source of data? What's that type of visualization that we're not supporting? So we can start taking our technology to where customers are. So before we get into, so that's kind of this marching order, right? Is like we are the tool that is visualizing data. We very complementary to any of this amazing work that's coming out of the Cortana Analytics suite, all the advanced analytics that you're doing that are producing amazing data. So again, whether we're connecting to it in place, whether we're loading it into the Power BI service, there's some advantages to doing that. We see ourselves as that kind of the tip of the spear in terms of taking data that last mile to users. I want to talk a little bit about how we conceptualize this Power BI 2.0 and where our brain is at in terms of the top priority for this initial release. And so you guys understand the vision of how we're rolling this functionality out. I think it was actually 2 years ago when we started looking at the direction that Power BI needed to go. The discussion was around SaaS and how SaaS has really changed most markets. And we wanted to see how that played in the business intelligence space and what we had to do for business intelligence. And so here's familiar with Siebel. Show of hands, great. Not everybody. It's actually, I've been doing presentations now where I ask that question and there's literally people in the room who don't know what Siebel Systems is. Siebel was a CRM. It was the big gorilla in CRM. The reason it's kind of an anecdotal question to ask is because everybody knows Salesforce. And what happened is in the CRM space with Siebel is I would bring in a partner, I would bring in Siebel. It would be a very long installation project. It was IT-led, and it was highly customized. And Salesforce really just flipped the market for how you did CRM. Because now all of a sudden, somebody in a department could go sign up. They could get a very out-of-the-box, kind of templatized version of CRM. And you know, in 2004, Siebel was acquired for $4 billion. I think, you know, last time I checked, you know, Salesforce is well north of $40 billion. So a 10x multiplier in the same industry because they used SaaS as a way to approach end users directly, and then they've come in with customization and great extensions onto Salesforce. So it really upended the CRM market. And as you guys know, you're familiar with software, we can look across almost every software industry, software vertical, whether it's HR with Workday or even file shares. Microsoft still makes a bunch of money selling Windows Server for file shares, but today, if you're really doing file shares, you're using something like, I'll say OneDrive, I'll be the good corporate citizen, but you're using Box or Google Drive or any other SaaS offering. It's really just changed the way that you gathered this service. We think we're on the cusp of something very similar happening in the business intelligence marketplace, the data visualization, the data analysis, vertical software vertical. Now, our intention is to basically do to what these other SaaS industries that have fallen, do the same thing with BI, but Power BI is going to be the tool that really revolutionizes that. Now, this is a little bit different, because if you think about Salesforce, a department can come in, they could get started with CRM. The legacy stuff was less of an issue, right? And even file shares, it's pretty easy to migrate. BI is a lot different beast, and this is the first thing when we looked at this approach we talked about is, well, I've got all this on-premise data. I've got a lot of legacy calculations. I mean, there's still, as we all know, banks and financial institutions and other institutions that live their life off of decades-old Excel spreadsheets and macros that nobody knows how they work, right? BI is a very sticky and hard to transition. It's a slow migration beast. And so we had to think differently about how we did Power BI. We had to kind of be disruptive in how we get people started with Power BI. And so we'll look at a little bit of that in some of our demos. In fact, actually, we showed a little bit of it yesterday, but I'm going to switch over and actually we'll just talk about how we think about being disruptive in the BI space. So I'm going to start off in the Power BI service. We'll come back and dig into a few features. But when you sign up for Power BI, if you noticed, depending on when you've signed up, we've continued to improve this experience. We take every user. First of all, we have a mantra that it's 5 seconds to sign up and 5 minutes to wow. We saw a tweet the other day where somebody actually tweeted that they had a 5 minute to wow moment. That was like a big celebration for our team. We're constantly doing usability studies where we're taking target users and we're really measuring ourselves. It's hard to do, but we're measuring ourselves to that 5 minute to wow metric because that's what we've seen in other SaaS services. I can sign up in seconds and within 5 minutes I'm getting value out of the service. And so that's our marching order. And again, if you find yourself not getting wowed in 5 minutes, let us know. And we want to be creative in how we do that. So when you land, the first thing we do in Power BI is ask you to bring data into the service because it's the backbone of what we do. You need great data. The first thing is we have to take our service to where data is. One of the things that's been changing recently is there's a lot more data that's essentially born in the cloud. We look at digital web marketers. So most of the data I deal with as a digital web marketer starts in the cloud. It's coming out of Google Analytics. It's coming out of SendGrid with my email campaign. So I'm doing a lot of things where that data doesn't exist in my enterprise. So it's a very ripe set of users for us to go target. And we're providing a rich set of out-of-the-box connectors that's targeted at those users in a simple enough way where they can come in, give us a username and password, sign up, and have data that they can use very, very quickly. I always use Salesforce as one of the canonical examples. We also have fantastic connectivity. Oops, I got the two-factor authentication. Let's get my little code here. Oops. We have connectivity to dynamic CRM, but I also always like showing Salesforce to really pound home this notion that we're going to wherever the data is, regardless of the property. And literally just by supplying my username and password and going through Salesforce's fantastic authentication, type the right code in, 9582. Try that again. Great. We provide, and I just picked a sales manager template, so we provide a couple different templates. And just like that, as a user who's a very, just I'm a random Salesforce user, a Marketo user, a SendGrid user, a Dynamics CRM user, a Google Analytics user, we're getting you started with a set of out-of-the-box visualizations, reports, natural language capability. And it takes about 30 seconds to load, always just enough time for me to have to dance around on stage for a second. This is our timer. This is a 5 minutes to wow moment. So if we hit a user and that content exists for them, they can really get in here and get going with the service incredibly quickly. Now, the viral effect of this is one, I can go ahead and share this with other users in my organization. But the other thing that we believe is that inside of organizations, there's a lot of good content already. And in fact, there's a lot of classes of users that are either, we call them Anna the analyst, there's data scientists, there's Ben, kind of BI developer personas, that kind of create and distribute content is what they do. And so that's why we took the same model of a SaaS content pack and looked at organizational content packs. And what an organizational content pack is within my organization, I can publish a set of content to get people started very, very quickly targeted to my company. This is also an opportunity for an SI to come in and help set some of these content packs up. But so now if I'm the second or third or fourth users inside of an organization, when I come to get data, I see that nice My Organization button, and I click that, and now I start seeing, and this is inside of Microsoft. This has been a very exciting thing to watch grow inside of Microsoft, because all of a sudden, and you can control who you publish to. But people all of a sudden, ART is one of our, essentially all of our analysis services tabular models that you use for financial reporting. Now, this is all on-premise, so if I connected to this, I'd only actually have access to a small subset of it because of my user credentials. But I know that ART word. I mean, that's like Microsoft data. That's kind of the core, some core data. Somebody took their Destiny player versus player data from, I don't know actually what team it's from, but I installed that content pack, you actually they're using this to pull in their player versus player data inside of Microsoft, and they decided to publish it to the company, which is kind of a fun thing. But what it means is the next user at Microsoft that comes in and says organizational data, they start scrolling through this list, they start seeing an amazing wealth of information that gets them started very, very quickly. WDDG, this is actually Windows and Devices Group. I work with that team, that's why I have access to these content packs. This is how Terry Meyerson runs his weekly operational reviews for Surface, Windows 10 launch, for Edge usage. And so that's all that usage information. So people in his organization that have access to that, they can come hit install, and now they just immediately have installed their own connection to and set of reports for that content. One nice example of that is Mark Regera. I don't know if you know Mark. He's a very active person in the BI community for Microsoft. He put together his kind of favorite World Bank sample so other employees of Microsoft can come and pull the World Bank. And again, just like I installed my slice of my Salesforce account, I can do the same thing connecting to World Bank data. Now I have an out of the box set of a connection to World Bank data that I can now go personalize, edit these reports, and do what I like there. This is still getting things loaded, I guess. But again, what it comes back to for us, get a little nice load. All right, we're gonna bail on that.
Go ahead. Is there a sample that we can play with?
To create a content pack? Or two?
No, that's a content pack that we can play with out of the box.
So the
kind of demos Power BI.
Oh, so the it's a great question. So inside of a couple things, what I'd recommend if you wanted to start playing with Power BI, we do have a growing list of samples, which are vertical specific. Sandy's actually, I saw Sandy come in here. She's the sample czar, and so we have a release cadence for these that are coming out as well. So vertical by vertical, industry representative samples that you can install just to play within the service. The other thing I would look for in the services, again, the question was, is there some sample content that I can use? Some of the things like GitHub is an example. Or you can go sign up for GitHub and you can type any repository. So you can type Microsoft.net and all of a sudden connect to the GitHub repository that shows you all the check-in history for anything in GitHub. GitHub is a developer platform for checking in data and sharing code. So that's an example of a content pack actually that you could connect anything in there and start having a live dashboard that demonstrates
so
the
GitHub,
service.
Okay, I was confused about that yesterday. So that has data you can get access to.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, you can talk to any of the repositories. You just need a GitHub account and it's very easy to use. Another question. Yeah, so these are SaaS services, so these are meant to point to external SaaS offerings. My organization, let's actually take a look at this right now about how to publish one of these guys. So if I come into my world, we're going to look at some of this. We're going to do this a little bit later, but we're going to look at Microsoft Travel Data as a demo. If I come up to this gear up here, I can actually create a content pack. So any user can come in and start creating a content pack to publish it. When I do that, I can specify either specific groups of people or specific people that I want to publish this to. If I wanted to say my entire organization, I could publish this to my entire organization. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to send it to one person. I can upload a nice little image. Actually, I think I might even have an image on here. Yeah, that's a good point. So we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But I come here and I can add essentially whatever data I want to add to that content pack. I can click publish. So when you sign up for Power BI, you establish a tenant for your company. And so users within that Azure Active Directory tenants are all shared users on this tenant. So any next person that comes up and signs up with an email account that's associated with that tenant, so for instance, Microsoft.com, at Microsoft.com accounts, although there's ways to set up Azure AD to have additional email aliases mapped to the same tenant. So any users on that that tenant of Power BI is within that organization, and then those are the superset of people you could share these content packs with. So right now, we think about my organization as literally your Power BI tenant, which is associated with everything we do is through Azure Active Directory. And then the SaaS services are publicly available to everyone. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Great.
When creating groups for sharing the content, can they be tied to Azure AD groups?
Yes, and I think there's a... that's either released or in the pipeline for releasing, the ability to specify groups. What we do have, we're going to come back to sharing and deployment in a second. I want to get back to my kind of single train of thought, and then we'll come back to how we'll circle back to some deployment patterns for how you might deploy this in an organization. The question was, can you use groups? The first integration we did was with Office 365 Modern Groups, which is the Office 365 approach to doing that, and then security groups is the next logical thing. So I'm going to switch back to my slides. Okay. So we're going to rewind and go through a little bit of history here, but that previous slide. Our approach, we realized that if we're going to upend the BI market and fundamentally change how people do business intelligence, we had to do what these other SaaS services do. And hopefully you're getting a taste of and seeing the direction we're going and trying to make it so any user walking up off the street, when they sign up for Power BI, they have content is king, and they can get value very quickly out of the service. The next step for us, and we see, is that when people create amazing things, they then share that with other people in their organization, and then moving forward, sharing people without the organization is something that's further down on the roadmap. The other piece that was unique about BI is in a good way to actually look at this is look at kind of the history of how BI has evolved over the last 20 years. So you think about the first wave of business intelligence, we would actually think about it as a technical wave. It's very IT-driven. So it was an IT-led project. There's a lot of ETL involved. I'm dumping data into either from an ERP into some sort of analytical reporting database. And really, it was IT's job to serve the end user with output, either a custom set of reports that they built, a custom app that they built, it was maybe some partner tool that allowed them to do, or a third-party tool to do reporting. But it was end users making requests that took several months to process. And this is still, a lot of companies still are in this first wave of BI, where I make a request as an end user, it rolls back to IT, and then rolls through. There's been a second wave of BI, and this is where we started kind of approaching this with Power Pivot and Power View. And what that was about for us is recognizing that there was this large demand for self-service. We wanted to do self-service for every user, but if we look at what the results were, what we really enabled was self-service for analysts. Analysts could then build upon this first wave, build upon the IT assets, but we moved to a mechanism where now analysts were serving end users. And we see this in a lot of organizations. We see this at Microsoft, where the people who are creating content for end users, when end users ask for content, is an analyst who's connecting to data either directly from source systems with the help of IT. It's building on this wave. We think there's a third wave of business intelligence happening, and we think that it's typified by this SaaS model. And what this is, the democratization of this, is where when people can come to Power BI, a tool like Power BI, they can, as an end user, find curated content for themselves that they can then work with directly. So I know I've said that about four times, so I think I probably landed the point. But interesting thing about this is it's built, each of these layers has built upon these layers. And so we had to build upon these layers as well. So I'm going to switch back to my demo machine. And the way in which we think about building upon these demo layers is, and we'll look at in Power BI Desktop how to set this up in a little more streamlined way. We recognize that it's unreasonable to expect organizations to move all of that content and data that was created in this first wave of BI and the second wave of BI and all move it into Azure, right? And move it into Power BI. It's not realistic, right? Some data, like I said, is born in the cloud, it lives in the cloud, or end user organization themselves are the ones inventing that data. They usually don't care if it goes up into the cloud because it's what it is. If I'm doing advanced Cortana analytics machine learning and I'm piping that data through the cloud already, okay, fine, I can land it in the cloud. It's not a scary thing to me. But for a lot of historical, more traditional verticals where that data is, you know, it's my core business data, I'm not yet comfortable with the idea of moving it to a cloud service, we needed to connect to it in place. I know James clicked through and showed the first direct connect capability we support, which is Analysis Services. So what we provide for those people who don't want to move their data up into the cloud is you can install a proxy on your on-premise Analysis Services machine. Require that to be domain joined with Active Directory, the same Active Directory that we use in Power BI. That allows us to line up the user identities in both places. So that then all the content that I'm looking at inside of the web is being pulled from that on-premise proxy into the organizational's on-premise data. So we pull only the data up as I query it. We encrypt everything we cache. And so it's a very lightweight thing if you're not comfortable with Microsoft hosting that data because you're worried about somebody, you know, stealing the database or something. We don't actually move the database up there. So and a good example of that is I'm actually going to install another content pack really quick. This has grown enough. It's always a good sign when your UX grows to the point that you need a search button. People view. And so this content pack I'm installing is actually connecting back to our HR data set. Right? The other thing is this UX on the left-hand side you're seeing here, there it is, people view, is actually getting a redesign. So it's also a good sign when your initial get this thing out the door UX has successfully not scaled to the point that people are using the product enough that you have to make it scale. So I've got my HR data. Again, this is connecting back to my on-premise server. This analysis services tabular model already existed inside of Microsoft. There wasn't really a big desire to move that into the cloud just for the sake of moving it into the cloud. So they were able to set up this dashboard connecting directly back to that on-premise dashboard and then pulling the data back up into the cloud. In terms of latency, you do add a kind of at least a speed of light latency where we have to then connect the Power BI service back to on-premise. So there is a little bit of a perf degradation, but this is a supported scenario for us. So again, it's a place that if you're using our on-premise connector and you're finding that you can't satisfy your business requirement because of the latency of connecting on-premise, we want to know. We have a team that's fixing perf and working on perf improvement for this scenario. So when we think about those waves building through BI, we had to support getting users access to content very quickly, but we also have to think about how content has built up the stack. So what this means practically for you when you're deploying data, you have the option of moving data into the Power BI service. We'll take a look at some examples of how to do that. But when you're producing data from something like the Cortana Analytics Suite, you can think about the different outputs of that data. I can output that data into SQL Azure. You might output that data into a VM running SQL Server Analysis Services tabular models, and then connect directly from that data to that data from Power BI without having to create an additional copy of it. Okay. So I'm going to switch back to slides really quick. So that makes sense. A lot of dense information to throw at you guys very quickly. Yeah, please. Just keep it interactive.
So I see that you have several connectors to different databases. Yeah. What if I have a database that I not find a connector? For instance, GA4GA is a graph database that we use. So can I build that connector? Wait for you guys to build the connector.
That would be an interesting conversation. So we would want to know, we have a prioritized backlog of connectors that we're working through. It'd be interesting to know the specific source that you're trying to connect to. Some graph databases, some are on our roadmap, so maybe it's something we're already working on. So it would be, so Faisal's here. He has the next session, is actually, would have some affinity for that space in his area, or you can follow up with me afterwards, and it'd be great to know the specific connector.
So the answer is that we depend on Microsoft to build the connector.
Yeah. So there's, so it would be good to go follow through on extensibility options.
I didn't come
with material or demo to dive deep into reporting services. The good news is with the next box release of SQL, we have a significant investment going back into reporting services. The question was, hey, what's the migration path for reporting services? So before I answer that question, I'm gonna answer a different question. There's a very, very clear migration path for analysis services-based artifacts, PowerView-based artifacts, Power Pivot based things in Excel. There's very that we have functionality that streamlines bringing that into Power BI. Reporting services, we will have a capability coming this next box release to be able to pin reporting services artifacts from my reporting services deployment up into the Power BI service. So I can use the Power BI web cloud service as a navigation element if it's a convenient way to deploy and share information, essentially the dashboarding capability. If I wanted, and then would allow me to do a hybrid type deployment of reporting services artifacts with links back to those reporting services artifacts and other BI content. There is an investment in upgrading the look and feel of reporting services artifacts. But for the time being, reporting services, and actually going forward, is basically our solution for paginated reports. I want to create a report that has pagination, has highly complex parameterization, can print it like a PDF. Those types of scenarios, reporting services is still our solution for that, and it's still an on-premise, pure play on-premise solution. So there's, It won't necessarily be something that you migrate away from for those scenarios. Those scenarios still live in reporting services and going forward the same way. Another question.
Power Map has some
dependencies on the local graphics card. Right? And one of the things we put for Power BI is everything is running in the cloud. Is a lightweight thing. So we have some discussions with the team that owns that Power Map about how to make that something that we can make participate in the cloud. And so that's just the technical nitty-gritty of that one. Power Map's a great tool, and keep using it. It's in Excel. It's an invested-in tool. It's just because of we wanted this thing to work any device, HTML5, and that was a call we made.
Now, it must be with the end users. They want to see it also. I mean, once they have it, they just want it.
Yeah. So Power Map is a really neat technology and really useful storytelling tool. And still very complimentary in this space. It's just the web rendering. Okay.
Love the content packs. Creating them, however, is in the UI. Is there a way to create those programmatically?
So the next session is about developer programmatic access. And we'll get to the roadmap, if not the existing capabilities, for programmatically creating data. Now, the SaaS content packs that I list here, right now the process is you work with our team to publish these content packs. That's something that comes through our team initially, because we want to keep these highly curated. And then in the roadmap, you'll see us loosening the SaaS providers. Organizational content packs then are something that you can have more control over because it's an organizational thing. The crazy thing, Faisal actually drives the team that does this, is I didn't actually do the double check. These guys are shipping these so fast that I'm always in. I'm out of date almost the time I show it. I'm missing half. That's a good sign to have. That's a fun thing when you start seeing things in your product, the list of these SaaS connectors growing to the one that you can't keep up with them, but. That wall of any user coming in will get your data in.
Can you organize your organizational contact packs by business function, like HR, accounting?
So we have some user interface updates coming that you have tags, and it's much more search-driven interface. Because it's a very organic. The question was, can you organize the organizational content packs in a hierarchy of some way? Are you guys okay with me just kind of taking questions and answering stuff? Is that all right? I see enough people nodding that we have quorum for just kind of answering questions. I'm going to switch back. We're going to talk about Power BI Desktop now, and I'll answer the content pack question right off the bat here. Oops, my slides on this thing. What I was just mentioning is right now at Microsoft, you see this is getting very cluttered very quickly. We have some nice updates coming in that'll make finding information a little bit easier. What I would also mention is that all of these content packs have addressable URLs. So if you did want to send people links to get directly to that content pack, you can use that URL as a way to navigate people directly to it. So you can at that point go create your own web page, SharePoint web page and navigate people to stuff. Okay, so I'm going to switch over and do some discussion of Power BI Desktop. Power BI Desktop, as the name implies, if you look at what we have in Excel, there's been a couple questions. I've just walking around the hall, say, "Oh, how do I position, or how do I understand what you do in Excel with Power Pivot, and what you do with Power BI Desktop?" It's a really good question. Actually, what I would look at the model is what Tableau does with Tableau Desktop. So we go talk to Tableau users. Every Tableau user we talk to still uses Excel. They're complementary tools. So what we look at is Power BI Desktop is a visual analysis and reporting tool. It's a visual analysis reporting tool. Whereas Excel is a spreadsheet and almost like a data production environment in terms of what you do with macros, what you do with functions in Excel. I mean, it's like if you get very metaphysical, people talk about Excel like a programming language. And just in the way that Tableau Desktop and Excel are very complementary tools, we think Power BI Desktop and Excel are very complementary tools. The focus for us and the mission for us inside of the larger Microsoft suite is to focus on the visual data analysis function of data analysis, where Excel is the traditional spreadsheet data analysis function. So don't stop using Excel. Excel is a wonderful tool. There's many things in Excel we will not attempt to do. But what you will notice is you can import directly from Excel in this tool. So if you've done something in Power Pivot and you've created Power Views in Excel, it's very easy to import into Power BI Desktop and then start taking advantage of the new capabilities. The other very practical and tactical thing is we release Power BI Desktop monthly. And that's something we just don't have the option to do with Excel, because even if we get the new functionality into Excel 16, you know, half your user community is on some earlier version of Excel. So this is something that's free to download, everybody can be current on.
Patrick, question.
Sure.
So a scenario that I'm running into pretty often is that I have Excel users who like to use pivot tables. One of the reasons that they like to use pivot tables, other than slicers and filters and whatnot, is that they can export them and print them and do things that Excel users tend to do. And it's great that I can import that, but once I've imported it, I can't create a pivot table now.
Yeah,
so I end up maintaining two copies of my model, one that still exists in Excel using Power Query and Power Pivot. I can link to and put it on a dashboard, but then I've branched my project.
Yeah, so there's a specific ask for, so the question was, hey, one of the great things about Excel, and the first part was there's a lot of these built, it's easy, I can copy and paste data, it's a modern tool in those features. The second ask was is I can kind of connect other things to it, and there's a way to create pivot tables as an ad hoc way. So I want to answer those two questions really quick. The first, I made this comment to somebody yesterday because they were surprised because they saw a feature all of a sudden show up in desktop they didn't know was there and this. And we. I always get very skeptical of a new BI feature. In my 12 years, a couple times I thought I invented a new BI feature, and every feature, almost all the core features in BI, you know, have existed for 10, 15 years, right? There's a couple new things you might do, but I always get a little nervous when somebody does something new. You know, we still have a ways to go until we've hit every kind of feature that you would just expect out of a modern BI tool. And that's why you're seeing us release so fast, is because we just have this backlog. We've actually done most of these features before in some other product here at Microsoft. And so a lot of things like copying and pasting data, connecting to my data as a data source, these are all on our backlog. I'm not going to give you specific dates because we're trying to ship so fast that it's not even worth keeping the dates. But things like copying, pasting data out, sending a snapshot of an image in an email, connecting other data sources, you know, connecting Power BI Desktop up to the service, these are all things that the team is firing on full cylinders implementing. So the first part of your question is very easy. The second part of, hey, I want to go into Excel and I want to use Power BI now as a data source for Excel, that's something that is very, very interesting to us, and we're trying to work through the mechanics of and shipping logistics of, but it's definitely something we've talked about. So, go ahead.
If you create visuals in Excel, are you going to be able to bring those in then to Power BI?
So if you create Power View visuals, you can import them into Power BI Desktop. You can also today, publish full fidelity Excel into the Power BI service. So when you go to the Power BI service and you upload a file, you can choose to have that Excel file uploaded as just a full fidelity rendering. So if you had a pivot table, it just opens Excel web services at that point, so you could have content in Power BI that's just Excel spreadsheets.
What's the oldest Office version?
It's Power whatever.
Is it only in 2013 and above?
Yeah, Power View I think is 2013.
Can you still publish the Power BI report that you create here to your SharePoint Online or Office 365, or you have to?
So Power BI is a property in Office 365. So if you come to this little waffle, which takes a second to load apparently from the Office 365 property, and if I go to an Office 365 property, oh, fantastic. If I go to an Office 365 property, you'll see that the Power BI is essentially a, it can be installed as a standalone. Looks like everybody at Microsoft's waffle is not working. But you see Power BI is a standalone, but Office 365 offering. You could put a PBIX file in a SharePoint document library if you want, it's just a file. But to open it right now, you publish it to the Power BI service. In the next session, we'll talk about the embeddability, programmability stuff. But that would be the exact approach.
Well, is Power
It's part of Excel.
Pardon.
Power BI is part of Excel. Okay, so let's come back. Whew, we eat up a lot of time. Okay, we're gonna hold questions for 10 minutes because I got fun demo to do. I got to get my energy level up. Okay. What I'm going to do is I got a blank workbook. Luckily, I did some Julia Childs things. When I say come into Power BI Desktop, great thing is this huge growing list. I think we're like five away from our big competitor in terms of matching what they do. I can come through this list. Every time we add a new service, it shows up in this list as something I can connect to. I'm actually going to come to Azure. I'm going to come to Azure HD Insight. I'm going to connect. DEHD Insight. And when I connect to, this is a Azure Hadoop instance. So this is a file share. I took a bunch of Microsoft travel data, dropped it in some, cut it up into some CSVs, and I can use Power Query, which is built into Power BI Desktop, to pull this data in. This is a very rich set of capabilities. I can merge across multiple files. I can do very simple things like using the first row as a header, but I can even do more advanced things. So we got these, if you ever look at your ticket, this is kind of how probably the only people in the world that use a slash as a delineator. It's kind of airline tickets. But I can go ahead and just say split this column by a delimiter. I'm going to use a custom delineator and just say slash and split this apart. Turns out that this column is kind of my always mess up my demo column because there's one numerical value in the column. And just like that, I have can come through and manipulate data. The other greatest feature in the world that's in this tool is you can unpivot columns. So if you have a pivoted table of data that somebody gave you and you want to turn it into a traditional little table, you can just click unpivot and pivot, or you can unpivot other columns. It's a very, very powerful way. Users love this thing in terms of being able to quickly manipulate data. Just this little split column, if I have to do that in Excel, it's that big, you know, that Excel function for that's about this long and has, you know, search, define the length, and all of a sudden I'm doing a math problem. So what the team that built this did is literally just took all those basic manipulations that people do in Excel and built them in with single button clicks. This is the same interface for all of my data sources. In this case, I'm using, you know, files out of Hadoop. It's the same thing if I connected to now Salesforce or if I connected to a traditional SQL database. I've got my list of operations here. So I can actually rewind my steps. I can do something like change the source that this came from. So I could edit the source to begin with, so I can repair this as the world changes, which is a very common thing. The other, if you're really a glutton for punishment, this is actually, there's a full scripting language behind this. And so you can create custom functions. It's just a very, very powerful way to bring data in. When you actually asked about doing custom connectors, this is the an extension to this connection interface is actually how we do connections into Power BI. And so that's what Faisal can follow up with you about. So and here I'm working on a preview data. I can hit apply and close. The load here is going to take a few minutes, so I'm just going to skip that step and go to, or take 20 seconds, not that long, but I'm going to switch over to my Julia Childs kind of starting point for analysis that's already pulled in that table of data. So what this data is, Microsoft travel data. I've changed just enough of it that I can show it to you. So it's not, don't take it as the fact of Microsoft travel, but there's like some really, really fun insights here, so I like showing the demo. So first thing I might want to look at is maybe let's look at just air miles, and then look at this subset of data that I have, and let's look at what carriers we travel with. And let's just sort it, maybe by air miles. Let's switch this here. We actually see Microsoft employees. We're a big company that does a lot of travel. So you see in this subset of the data, 500 million miles on Delta Airlines. It's just kind of insane to think about the number of miles that people have traveled. Turns out the metric we use when we analyze travel cost, it's not, you know, how much money you've spent. It's not how many miles you've traveled. It's actually cost per mile, because that's how you can get apples to oranges. And I don't have a cost per mile metric. It'd be really nice if I actually had this cost per mile metric. So right here in the Power BI Desktop, I can create a new measure. And so now I've got my formula bar here to create a measure. I'm going to call this thing cost per mile. I'm going to say this is equal to the sum of cost, which is going to be air ticket amount. And you can see we've integrated, actually from Visual Studio, the same auto and IntelliSense and formula building capability here. So I can say air miles, tab. So it's very easy to just type this in. And now I've created a measure that shows up in my model right here. So I've got my cost per mile measure. You can see on this subset of data, we spend about 26 cents per mile when we travel. I can change this to numerical dollar amount, because that's what it is. And then maybe actually what I want to look at is this by destination airport, right? So I'm going to sort this guy by sort it by amount. Sort it by cost per mile. And we get some, the outliers here, very, very expensive people going to VVC, FDW. I don't know where these places are. They probably don't get many trips. So I'm actually going to come down here. And just to speed things up, I have a measure already in here. Number of trips. So I'm going to put a visual filter in here and say this is greater than 10 trips. Okay. So MCM starts standing out here. It's a very expensive destination. Right? Does anybody know what MCM is? Okay, so I'm going to do is I'm actually going to grab another set of data. I'm going to pull in some airport codes. It's a very common thing. It's what is the set of airport codes we want? I'm just going to say load. So the other thing I can do here in Power BI Desktop then is I've got my schema here. So I can create a relationship between my destination airport codes and my destination airport. Reversing the columns. Thank you for doing that for me. Right. Great. So now I've got a relationship here. And now maybe we actually want to look at my airport codes and look at my city. Let's look at this as a table and see MCM. Oops, I got to do this so it filters. So let's switch this guy around. Monte Carlo, right? So I'm not going to belabor the point, but the because we want to finish the demo with a couple other things.
Anything to do with enterprise licensing going up?
Well, it turns out this is really interesting because Monte Carlo doesn't actually have an airport in the traditional sense. It has a helipad, and so if you do a real fun time with this demo, it turns out there's about 7 employees that I think it was the Grand Prix and stuff going on that necessitated the helicopter ride, and it's actually from Nice to Monte Carlo. So when you take a 7-mile helicopter ride, it really messes with the cost per mile of a destination. So now, if I keep going with this, I can do anything from Miguel is an awesome guy and said, hey, Miguel, make a really nice looking report on Microsoft travel data. So he created this report and he came back and he said, well, you know, I'm colorblind, and I believed him. He was joking. But so you can really get creative with your visualizations. The other thing we can then do, and we showed this yesterday, is get very creative with the visualization of these different artifacts. All that custom visualization stuff we showed that Mike Faisal is going to talk about in the next session is going to flow in. And then as I finish my demo here, I can just say file, publish, and I can publish this up to Power BI. And sign in really quick. Actually, it should already be signed in. And just from here, I've now published this report back up to the Power BI server. Oh, I know what I did. That file was on my USB thumb drive. And it wanted to find the file to save it before I uploaded it. I took my thumb drive out. So what happened here is it wanted to save the file before it uploaded it, and the file was on a thumb drive I took out of my machine. So sorry, demoer, follow my steps. It's not a complicated thing. So this is not a complicated button. It works. If I get back up to the service, I think I actually deleted that, so it's not actually uploaded. But that then shows up as a report that I've uploaded that I can then pin and start creating dashboards. I want to talk about Cortana digital personal assistant integration with the last few minutes here, because I think that's very topical given the name of Cortana Analytics Suite. So when the decision was made to think about Cortana Analytics Suite as the package of offerings included Power BI, you can see Power BI. There's desktop's a fantastic tool, allows you to bring data in with the personal gateway, model data, either connect to it in place, bring it into there, upload it into service. It'll be a very good visualization tool to sit on top of all the great work you do with the Cortana Analytics Suite. The other thing we had the ability to facilitate for the Cortana Analytics Suite out of Power BI is integration into the Cortana Digital Personal Assistant. And so, in fact, the reason we've accelerated the work to do these kind of card-sized results is to think about how we can integrate that up into Cortana. And so I just have a couple examples here to think about. Oh, I got Alex Barber here. So what we're doing here, in Windows 10 Threshold 2, which is essentially the next release, major release of Windows, built into the underlying shell for Cortana. When you log into that device, you can do a thing that adds essentially connected accounts, including an Office 365 connected account. When you add an Office 365 connected account, that's adding your Azure Active Directory information. So we can then check up to Power BI if that user is authenticated to Power BI or has a license for Power BI and has any data that's been marked as available to Cortana in Power BI. So at that point, the client-side federation for Cortana Search will federate that information up to Power BI, so it actually doesn't go through any other Microsoft property, so it keeps the same security and compliance boundary that Power BI maintains. It sends that utterance up to a front end that we have that knows how to drop things very quickly if you're asking for Macy's store hours or these types of things, and then looks for an answer inside of the Power BI corpus. In this case, I had uploaded a card for a telesales sales agent that was parameterized by their name. I have that example, specific example open. So this will work with voice as well. And then in this case, this is just called the agent summary report. And then in this report, I marked the parameter for person as required, so it became a something that I can report on. And then you can see we're still working on some formatting things in terms of how we pass our cards down. There's lots of little stuff to work out between now and the TH2 release. We think it's a very exciting scenario. We can do something like my team's top at risk. My team's top at-risk opportunities. So in this case, I'm pulling data that was run through Cortana Analytics Azure Machine Learning to look at opportunities from Salesforce and classify their risk category and classify the predicted amount that they would make. So this is the predicted amount that you would get from this Gamma Services project. If I click on it, it happens to be in Houston. And I can come here and say, show me the Gamma Services project details. And now I can grab basically the parameterized report just for the Gamma Services project. So again, it filtered down, so we were parameterizing. You basically declared this card for an opportunity to have a parameter. And then the great thing is I can include clickable links in this, and I can fire back to my Salesforce record, so I can think about keeping this all very well contained. So the last two sets about this, the authoring environment for this is just Power BI Desktop. The ability to set a Cortana card probably won't release that to the public until you can actually get a build that has the Cortana piece to it, which again is in this next Windows 10 release. So when that comes a little bit closer, we'll enable that functionality. And then the requisite for now is, so if you're doing some work in the Cortana Analytics Suite, you have to, until later this year, you take the data and you host it in the Power BI service, and data hosted in the Power BI, this feature will be available for data hosted in the Power BI service, because we need that currently for to get the indexing fast enough for Cortana. Timelines, in October, we'll start a private a TAP program. My alias is just PATB. If you want to be involved in that, we're trying to take a roster of 5 to 10 people in October to get started with a private TAP. So go ahead and contact me, and we'd like to open that up. We're really gated on when I can get a Windows 10 build to you that has the Cortana piece of this enabled, and then we'll start opening this up for the Cortana integration. So we answered a lot of questions in the beginning, so I know this kind of turned into a little bit of a disjoint presentation. I apologize about that. Faisal is going to kind of take over for the second half of this. One last thing I do want to show, because it'll kind of it's an important capability. We have integration with Office 365 groups. So the other deployment mechanism for this, the guy had actually asked the deployment question, stepped out, is you can go create work groups. When you create a workspace, you can just define different membership categories, owners, editors, and then anybody that gets added to that group now has co-ownership of artifacts. The way we think about this is, when most users come in, they're working in their personal workspace. That's our free tier. That's really the free tier. For if I just wanted to deploy like this content to my entire organization, you know, I could hit share and share it with my entire organization. It shows up in their personal workspace. Or I could manage this via a group where I just add something you're probably very familiar with. You create a group, you put content in the group, you add members to the group, they now have access to their work group. So that's the other piece of the deployment puzzle. I think while we transition to Faisal, I'll stick around and answer questions. Hopefully you guys are more excited about Power BI and have a little bit of a better idea about the direction where we're going with the service and data visualization. And then Faisal's going to take over for the programmability stuff.
You can type it, right? Yeah.